Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
Begbie's Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbie's Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbie's Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 4th of August, 2017. I'm Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And I'm broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live radio studio in the showroom workstation building in the centre of Sheffield. Whether you're listening on FM radio or through our internet live stream, this programme is also, of course, available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website, sheffieldlive.org. And talking about podcasts, if you missed last week's programme, it was crammed with vital information. Employment law specialist Jay Bayani joined me on the show last week. She gave an update and analysis of developments in employment law, including the Taylor Review, which was recently published. The Taylor Review into Modern Working Practices. And the proposals of the review are likely to impact on your business or your social enterprise, whether you are employing anyone at all, working with self-employed people or workers. The review proposed a number of changes. And if you missed that, then catch the podcast of the show on the Sheffield Live website at sheffieldlive.org. Look at radio shows, find Business Live, and you'll be able to find that programme. So, what's on the programme today? Well, we're looking to the future. How so? Well, I recently caught up with a specialist in future scanning with regards to the Wi-Fi industry. His name is Neil Reed. And caught up with him for a chat into the near future for Wi-Fi and advanced networking. So we'll be hearing from Neil shortly. Some fascinating insights and predictions and things that you and your business need to be aware of so that you can prepare for. In the meantime, what have you been up to this week? I've been working on a really interesting international accelerator program for MBA social entrepreneurs. They've come over from South Korea here to Sheffield. The student entrepreneurs, many of whom are running businesses already turning over substantial six and seven figure sums, are part of the MBA program at the KAIST Business School. And University of Sheffield Enterprise is running an international accelerator program. So the students are here, they're visiting the Cathedral Archer Project. They've had a number of lectures, workshops, and they're working with one-to-one mentors. And it's been a privilege to be part of that programme. I've had my head in some fascinating business plans, and there are some pretty diverse businesses there. Hopefully some of them will be joining us on the radio next week. But it struck me how effective communication and marketing is going to be vital for these businesses if they're going to achieve their financial objectives and their social objectives. And I was thinking, well, what do they need to know? What the social entrepreneurs and business owners need to know about the disruptions that are taking place in the media right now? And how are those disruptions going to affect how those social entrepreneurs, how your business will communicate? One thing that's really interesting is artificial intelligence-powered journalism. This is already in use by respected worldwide media. Wired magazine has reported recently about how the Washington Post, which of course is now owned by Jeff Bezos, who founded Amazon, Jeff Bezos. Anyway, the Washington Post has published coverage generated by Heliograph, a bot, in effect, artificial intelligence. And Wired described this as the most sophisticated use of artificial intelligence in journalism to date. And reporters have been surveyed in a recent piece of research that Neil Thurman, Constantin Durr, and Jessica Kernert compiled, and they've put together a paper called When Reporters Get Hands-On with Robo-Writing. They analysed professional journalists' experiences with and their opinions of artificial intelligence. And their participants in that survey included professional journalists from a whole range of outlets, CNN, Thomson Reuters and the BBC. And according to the research, journalists do believe that automated journalism will become more common. And the paper findings also state that while some news organisations and consumers are likely to benefit, these changes do raise ethical and societal issues. And counterintuitively, perhaps, they may increase the need for skills of news judgment, curiosity and scepticism that human journalists embody. Now that then led me to think, of course, humans are eminently capable of writing and disseminating fake news, as we've seen recently. But artificial intelligence and news writing and aggregating bots like Heliograph, which I mentioned earlier, also Wibbits and BuzzBot, are likely to play a larger and larger role in creating journalism as newsrooms struggle with dwindling resources, according to the research published in Wired magazine. And I know that Google have recently made a grant of €706,000 to the Press Association to fund their Reporters and Data and Robots project. That's the RADAR project. And that project looks set to explore ways to help journalism survive in the digital age. It's going to use open government and local authority databases and story templates to create automatic stories about crime, about employment, about health, and about other subjects too. And it's going to aim to provide up to 30,000 data-driven stories every single month for hundreds of local media outlets. There'll be five journalists overseeing this project to template these stories. So major changes there affecting journalism. Well, what else is affecting journalism? Well, local newspapers are seemingly in terminal decline. And those are not my words. Those are the words of Anna Merrifield of Social Spider Community Interest Company. But she pointed out that local newspapers are absolutely essential to enable communities to remain politically engaged and to be involved in decisions that will affect them. So calling local democracy to account. And Anna quoted some statistics from the Journalism Trade publication, the Press Gazette, which has recently reported how 198 local newspapers in the UK have closed since 2005. And I know there's been a similar decline in local newspapers in America and elsewhere. And most journalism jobs that have vanished in the States and in the USA have been in local journalism. So news organisations relying more and more on wire services, but also on inexperienced or less experienced reporters, according to the editor-in-chief of Huffington Post, speaking at a conference recently. But is there a grassroots publishing phenomenon emerging to fill the gap? Well, there is, according to some analysis, with Anna Merrifield of Social Spider Community Interest Company, saying that independent community media outlets are popping up and revolutionising the way they report by offering a positive and a community-focused angle on local news. And I noticed recently that in the UK, 15 community and hyper-local news publishers have successfully partnered with the BBC as part of the BBC's new 11-year local democracy reporter scheme. And this is going to fund 150 local democracy reporters across the UK with £8 million per year invested in the scheme. So hyper-local journalism feeding upwards to into outlets, including the BBC. Interesting times indeed. So a little bit of future scanning when it comes to journalism and media there. And I mentioned there's some future scanning when it comes to networks, Wi-Fi, borderless collaboration, the Internet of Things, and more from Neil Reed coming up in a brand new interview that I recorded with Neil recently. Just before we turn to that interview with Neil, a few forthcoming events that might be of interest to you. The Community Business Weekend is coming up. This is has been organised by Power to Change. Now, if you're running a community business and you want to grow through increasing your sales, then Power to Change's community business trade-up program is something for you. They are offering grants of up to £10,000, and they'll put you onto a fully funded 12-day learning program over 6 months. Their applications are open until 11th of October for that program, the Community Business Trade-Up Program, and you can find out details on the Power to Change website. But also coming up is their Open for Community Business Weekend. That's the 5th, 6th, 7th and 8th of October this year. Organiser packs are now available. 75 community businesses have already registered to take part. You can take part as well. And you can find details of that on the website communitybusinessweekend.org. Take a look at that for details of how you can get involved. There are some Business and IP Centre Sheffield events coming up, with some webinars in August and some physical events in September. Details of those are on the Eventbrite page for the Business and IP Centre Sheffield. Go to eventbrite.co.uk and look up Business and IP Centre Sheffield. They've got a whole host of interesting events, including introduction to business research using business databases. They have things on patenting, copyright, and much, much more. Also, the Social Enterprise Exchange Program has a session coming up next Tuesday, the 8th of August, in Rotherham, Voluntary Action Rotherham. And this involves Tom Ramsey. He's an enterprise coach from Groundwork South Yorkshire and part of the Social Enterprise Exchange Programme. And he also was the founder of Twin Cafe, the social enterprise that brought fair-traded coffee from Esteli in Nicaragua to Sheffield. And Tom's going to talk you through the Social Enterprise Exchange Programme. We'll go into details about the support and resources and workshops that the programme will provide in that information session, which takes place next Tuesday, the 8th of August. So have a look at that. And I noticed that Big Society Capital, which invests into the social enterprise market in the UK through intermediaries, they've published their latest figures, and their figures show that the social investment market in the UK is growing, with investments outstanding at the end of 2016 amounting to £1,950 million. That was an increase of 30% compared with figures for the end of 2015. And Big Society Capital estimates that the 3,600 investments it has identified mean that at least 3,000 different social enterprises and charities have now taken on social investment. I found that quite interesting. I've also been looking at global social investment figures lately, and there's a network called the Global Impact Investment Network. And their members are people who want to invest not only for a financial return, and they expect a financial return on their investment, but also they're investing to make something good happen in the world. And they appear to be investing more and more and more. In fact, their members say they look set to invest 16% more across the world this year. And their members all predict that their investments are going to not only pay back in terms of financial returns, but also they expect their investments to deliver the social returns that they're wanting for. So the Global Impact Investment Network, interesting stuff going on with them too. So I think it's about time to turn to Neil Reed and the idea of time travel, which of course might be beloved of you if you're a fan of Doctor Who. Well, is that just a convenient peg for science fiction programmes on TV and films? Well, no, because accurately predicting the future opportunities and also challenges to come is essential for forward-thinking businesses and social enterprises. And so Neil Reed, who's an international consultant, speaker, author of three books, came to Sheffield recently, and he was in town for a roundtable discussion, which was hosted by NatWest and was organised by an organisation I do some work with called ITI Network Services. And whilst Neil was here, I caught up with him to ask him, what's the future for Wi-Fi? What's the future for advanced networking? What's about the Internet of Things and borderless collaboration? And what opportunities and challenges might affect small businesses, social enterprises, and you and me? So Neil took the time to give me 25 minutes of his views, his expertise on what's going to happen. We'll hear from Neil now. So first of all, Neil, hello. Good afternoon. Thanks very much for joining me today.
It's my pleasure, Jamie. Terrific to be with you and the ITI team this afternoon.
And you've flown over from the States. How was your journey to Sheffield?
It was very nice, thank you. Non-stop from Dallas to Heathrow. Brilliant transfer to the Tube, and then the Midlands train to Sheffield. Very pleasant, amazing metro system in the UK.
Good stuff. Well, must be nice to be back. You've worked here before. Your expertise has been used here before as well. But for the people who haven't come across you, what do you do? Who do you work with? Why do you do it?
Those are great questions, and thank you. I have the great fortune of operating a consulting firm in the United States with some global interests. I have many years in the IT and high technology industry. I spent almost 13 years at Cisco and then retired out and became a consultant after some Cisco partners invited me to take care of some projects for them. From there, I was recruited and had the great pleasure and privilege of working with the ITI Networks Installation Group on the 2012 London Olympics, where we designed, deployed the entire Wi-Fi system on behalf of BT. It was a tremendous experience. Now I'm working on a cross-Atlantic collaboration with the great people at ITI. We're working together to get a formal agreement done and dusted that's looking very positive to pursue interests on both sides of the Atlantic. And it's a great, great symbiotic relationship.
Excellent. Sounds good. So there must have been significant challenges in 2012 in the Olympic deployment that you talked about, and challenges in the technology. Things are changing very fast. How on earth do you keep on top of developments in technology?
Another great question. I see you've come prepared today, Jamie. We in IT, as in all technology, of course, it's a very much learn as you go. No question about it. We learn from every single project we do. Every single engagement is slightly different. We go in with the insight and the belief that some portion of what we believe is incorrect. The trick for us is we're not quite sure which portion that is, so we're very observant into learning new elements, new techniques, refinements, learning more about the technology itself and their capabilities, and also the great people we get to work with. We get to see them stretched a little bit, as we ourselves are stretched in working this. So it's a rolling educational pursuit and experience in part. Many challenges, and lots of times we'll see challenges we haven't seen before. Sometimes you only see one challenge or see a challenge once. Other times you'll see them recurring, but you get better with your partnerships in anticipating them, addressing them, and resolving them.
Okay, so get better at anticipating and resolving challenges. Now, I'd like to talk about challenges that listeners might be able to anticipate, because they can then draw on some of your expertise in resolving them. What's coming up? What's going to affect people with regards wireless and communications? What's crucial to know about?
You know, that is a deep and broad subject. There's a technical element. There are capabilities of the technology that we see differently from site to site. We will often say on every project, wow, we didn't think it would do that. Or conversely, we'll say, you know, it should have done that, but it didn't. And so we adapt on that going forward. Therefore, sequence discipline, making sure that the processes and the kinds of people that we get to work with understand these where these risks are, the timing of these risks, and a very short and crisp way to avoid the problems, easier to avoid than to resolve usually for us. For an example, we learned in large-scale deployments that statistically more of the deployment issues occur on the afternoon of the last day of the week. And so by experience, we slow that period down. We try when we can, and sometimes we can't, but many times we can. We'll have a slightly lighter load on the last working day of the week and the last working afternoon of the week. We tend to focus our quality inspections there more than any other time during the week. And we have found by doing this, by adapting to that, that we reduce the average amount of rework, which is something in the 10 to 15% of things that we need to change,
right,
down to about 5%. That's quite manageable.
So that's a fairly large reduction in the amount of rework. That's great for the contractor, for the company concerned. That's great for the client as well. It saves everybody money. It saves a lot of hassle as well. Now, those kind of findings may be obvious to you, but not necessarily to people who aren't experts in your industry. Are those some of the? Is that some of the knowledge that you inject into, say, your books? You're an internationally best-selling author as well with regards to wireless communication. What do people find when they pick up one of your books and look into it?
You know, of the key takeaways, and I think I've written about this in the second and third book at length, is the concept of sequence discipline.
Yeah.
When we have the privilege of being hired by a customer to unravel certain problems, certain lacks of performance or lacks of speed on the network, we tend to nearly always find it in faulty deployments, in poorly engineered designs. And so we'll take a careful look at very detailed technical elements such as antenna selection, antenna placement, something in Wi-Fi world which we call a channel plan. It's just like your radio or your television. There's a number of channels, and how you use them in a large facility is very important. You don't want two channels in the same place, that kind of thing. And also power output, how much, sort of how turned up the radio is, if you will. So we make sure that the power output is not too high and not too low. So those are some very specific things that we look for. The book covers those things. And I think we've been teaching this for 15 years or something like that, maybe a little longer. And with lots of new and very bright, brilliant engineers, very capable, still learning, and we're still learning. We want to pass that on to the newer people and some of the more experienced people as well. The book is one way to do that.
Okay, great. Now, I want to ask specifically then, we mentioned the Internet of Things, and something that you're keen on is giving people, particularly small, medium-sized enterprises, a reality check into the opportunities that the Internet of Things presents. And I wondered if you can expand on those for our listeners today.
Certainly. It is actually really exciting. When you hear the term Internet of Things, what is it? Well, fundamentally, it's business-to-business type of direct communication technology, also machine-to-machine communications. But also, at some point, you must have human intervention, human management, human oversight and analysis. So always in the world of IoT, Internet of Things, there's a human element. They must be able to see a great number of devices and see very quickly the general health of the macro system. And you can do this in very simple and elegant and beautiful ways. When you have a screen full of red dots and yellow dots and green dots, you can see proportionally very quickly and intuitively the state of the health of the overall system. It's been interesting to note that it's easier to launch a soundbite, I think, than actually launch an industry or have this new technology. and some very, very smart people came about this term. I'm not sure. I think it was originated in the United States, but it may have originated in the UK. Not sure. But it's very prevalent inside the network technology industry. And now it's very clear that there are enough devices, enough sensor systems, from gas and oil to automotive to electrical sensors, security sensors, building, heating, cooling, lighting, all this, thousands and thousands of kinds of sensors, that there are now enough of them, by some accounts, 50 billion in the next 2 years. So even if we heavily discount that number, it's a staggering number of devices. And therefore, the opportunity is now real for us. We can actually use mature sensors and mature sensor packs and communication packs. So we're seeing the integration of more and more monitoring technology. For example, in smart buildings, it's very common to have remote access by a mobile, adjust temperature and so on. So now there's enough of that. There's a really tremendous opportunity. It is real now. We're involved in it. And there's a very new and interesting element involving a convergence, which perhaps we'll get to a bit later in our discussion today.
Quite, yes. So I suppose that widespread use of sensors, for example, in buildings, uptake and access leads to convergence. Now, if you're running a small business, 98% of businesses in the UK, for example, are businesses of 10 people or less. Is this something that you can sort of sit there and ignore and think, no, this doesn't affect me, this is only for the bigger businesses, or is this going to affect you as well?
I believe wholeheartedly it will affect, the term we use in the US might be the same here, but small and medium business. We use the acronym SMB for that. And very similar to the UK, most, the great preponderance of the US economy is the same as in the UK. It's a 1 to 10 person shop, which comprises most of the economy, as we said. There is a great need for that. For example, in heating and cooling, and especially in the southern United States where it's quite warm for a good portion of the year, to have air conditioning, which typically takes in the U.S. up to 40%, almost half of your total energy bill, managing that so it's not cooling all night long when you're not in the building, but it shuts down. But then when you walk into the building in the morning or have a timer or be able to turn it on from your mobile on your way to the office so it's nice and cool when you get there, it's nice and cool while you're there, but then shuts down shortly after the last person in the building's entered. So I think there is opportunities to save money, to make net new money, to reduce capital expenditures in the small and medium business very specifically.
Yeah. Great. Okay. And what else are the things to look for in perhaps the near future in advanced networking and Wi-Fi generally? What should people be aware of that's coming and that's going to affect their businesses, whether they're micro enterprises, whether they're SMEs or SMBs, as we might say on either side of the ocean?
You know, interestingly, that I think for the first time in many years, the Wi-Fi technology is fairly stable. There is no spectacular upcoming burst in speed that is required. We went through a number of protocols for 10 or 15 years on that. The very newest generation, we're starting to see the equipment performing well and exceed in excess of what's needed by most SMB environments and, in fact, most other larger commercial networks. So we think that's probably okay. There's a wonderful choice by the SMB owners of a wide array of excellent, excellent equipment. The changes, however, are coming in the design. For example, if you have a 10-person or a 15-person office, having the correct number of these access points, these radios, placing them where they should be, That's quite important, and that's a part that we think we have a tremendous opportunity in helping the SMB space with that. Even with the best technology, if it's not deployed quite correctly, you'll find that it doesn't live up to its potential.
Right. So the difference between a well-designed and a poorly designed product that uses the same equipment will be quite dramatic. So this is where the expertise will be able to help people.
Yeah, correct. We say that Wi-Fi is not difficult to do, but it's easy to get wrong.
Yeah.
the larger the network, the more this tends out to be true. I would say something on the order of about a third of my business is in remediation of systems that were previously deployed. And as I've mentioned in my discussions with the ITI executives, Dave Newton and Jason Denmark and so forth, we find that we very rarely, in fact, to my memory, have not ever replaced equipment because it was bad. But we were often given the mandate to rip and replace equipment because it was poorly installed, it was poorly configured, I would say in nearly all cases. And even when we explain, you know, I would probably leave that equipment, but why don't we make some changes in the design and so forth? And by that time, they've had it with the supplier. They want nothing to do with them. There's a fair amount of animation on the parts of the owners. So it's easier for them psychologically for us to just remove the other gear and place in new gear on the proper design. And that's unfortunate, I think, because I think that's money spent that may not need to be spent.
Yes, quite indeed. But then the effect will be dramatic for getting it right for your client.
Yes, they go right from a troubled situation where they can't get enough speed or any coverage in certain areas to flawless, ubiquitous, what we call ubiquitous and pervasive coverage. You can roam anywhere with your mobile or other devices, and it works really, really well, and it should. And so the design principles that we use help us make sure that happens. We also through this sequence discipline mentioned earlier before, we provide an assurance phase at the end. We test everything.
Yeah.
In some cases of large public venues, we test it to the breaking point. So we know the difference between the absolute capacity and performance and what they're very likely to see in the biggest crowd of the year, for example.
I see. Yeah. Okay, great. So we've touched on the Internet of Things. We've talked about sort of horizon scanning or near future view for Wi-Fi and advanced networking, what to look for, and borderless collaboration. Key points on that. I know it's an issue that you have some commentary and expertise on. What should people be thinking of?
I think there are several key takeaways there, Jamie. One is that these networks today and these deployments today, not so much in the SMB, but in the other 15-20%, which can take most of your business cycles because of their scope and scale. They can be multi-year. It is, I think, nearly impossible to have the depth of expertise for the kinds of things you do. And so we see teams of specialists brought in, and I like to think of my contractors and myself as a form of specialists. Mm. We're very, very good at large-scale Wi-Fi, meaning we don't run into many problems. We don't go back and fix things very often at all, right? So that's one of the key things that we do. It's the kinds of expertise. So my company is not large enough to find all of the deals I'd like to have. So I rely on my partners, an ecosystem. They deliver certain kinds of things. It might be cabling. It might be security. It might be other things that they provide. And when they get a customer that has something that I can do, large-scale Wi-Fi, for example, they'll bring me in. And conversely, if I have a large Wi-Fi project, I ask, is there a cabling opportunity? Is there an opportunity to provide aesthetics through the wrapping of a 3M wrap? Things like that. I ask a list of questions. Are these things taken care of? And I would say a third to half the time, we get a broader opportunity than we were originally called in for. So this requires an ecosystem of highly skilled and trusted and trained partners. For example, on the ITI Networks team, this is a phenomenal team. We did the Olympics together. That's about as big as it ever gets.
Yes.
We
yeah.
saw them perform flawlessly under rather considerable pressure, rather considerable exposure, a worldwide audience, 3 million people visiting your amazing Olympics Park flawlessly. That kind of trust is just irreplaceable. So we know there is no project that we couldn't bring in our ITI colleagues in. And we hope they feel the same way about my work and the people that I have, that this trust has been established through an extraordinary and very successful experience. So we rely on each other. Borderless collaboration means a fearless but intelligent approach in looking for opportunities. And instead of saying, you know, I know a company that can do the rest, say, I'll take care of that for you. you contact the company, subcontract to them. It's a revenue enhancer for you. It's better for the customer who has fewer vendors in the conference room at the beginning and end of a project. And also the communication, the operations, that when you have an ecosystem that's broken into each other, you're used to working together, you'll find many fewer mistakes, more project velocity, and better margins because we have less rework and recovery effort afterwards.
Yes, quite indeed, which is best for you, best for your clients too. Yeah, okay, grand. Well, we've been taking a look with Neil Reed into the near future for Wi-Fi, for advanced networking, in terms of project delivery, borderless collaboration, and even the Internet of Things as well. Solar power and Wi-Fi. Is this the next big thing? Is this something that people listening should be aware of, thinking about, if they're not already?
I do. I think in terms of broad new opportunities that seem to be fairly wide open, this may be one of them. So the opportunity, for example, to apply off-grid power supplies through solar and wind so that we can enable our customers to put internet sensors and communication systems regardless of whether or not they have ready access to utility power. So they don't have to trench a cable. They don't have to run an aerial cable. In the United States in particular, we find there is... it can be difficult to work with utility companies. Now, we know them. We appreciate them. We can't do business without them, at least heretofore. So we try to work collaboratively with them. But when my customers say, I can't get power for 30 to 160 to or more days to a site, that's a real revenue problem for them. And so I, in collaboration with two of my larger customers, came up with a concept of a solar and wind generation capabilities so that they can go off grid. And then what's interesting from my customer's perspective is that they now have a much more rapid growth capability than they did before, because the choke point is not the utility. It's not the last thing that they're waiting for. It's actually they're free from that very early in the project. So it's a great enhancer for our company. It's a great enhancer for the customer, and they're very, very thrilled. So we have beta trials underway presently in the United States. We're very excited to see how those work out and go from there. But I think this convergence of non-utility energy or off-grid energy plus the IoT is probably, in my mind, one of the most exciting things I'm seeing in the networking world at present.
Yes, superb. And finally, Neil, then, you mentioned convergence earlier and you said that you would probably return to it, just add a bit more on that. What else should we let listeners know about?
There are four key points that have come to mind and just have become illuminated recently as I realized, wow, this is something I kind of believe, but in piece parts. But there are four key things to understand, I think. And when you have these four things, you have a tremendous opportunity. The first is that the customer is ready. They have a business problem, a cash flow problem, an operational problem to resolve. They want this fixed yesterday. They want to fix the meeting. So that's very, very important. Second, is the technology package ready? And by that, we don't have time or luxury to develop special subsystems. This needs to be a hybrid pack of well-established and mature technology. Third, can we scale our deployment, our engineering, and our services assets? Can we do that very rapidly?
Right.
In our case, we can. We use a certain kind of tradesman and electrician that already does all of these things. We discovered this quite accidentally, but we realized joyfully that the tradesmen that we use already know cabling. They already know how to secure a 400-pound box or 200-kilo box to the side of a pole in a 50-mile-an-hour, you know, should a 50-mile-an-hour wind come, it will still be there. They know how to do those things. They know how to deal with high and low voltage. So we were very fortunate that we have a very large and extremely capable set of tradesmen that know out of the box. We literally spend 5 minutes training them. We have an instruction package for the installation that has no words on it. It's kind of like a Lego package. It's pictures. It's 7 pages. It's color. Anyone, any language, anywhere in the world can put these things together, and that's pretty exciting. The fourth and final point with regard to the four key elements of convergence are you ahead of the tidal wave?
Mm-hmm.
is the idea simple enough that you believe that this is going to be the way things are done? You're going to have a lot of competition. Can you get in ahead of them? And I think that's key for us. I don't expect at all to be the sole provider for this technology in the market spaces I'm working. We're prepared. We're ready. But we hope we're going to get a year or two in advance of some excellent competitors, which will keep us honest and keep us working hard and keep our prices more competitive. And at that time, hopefully, we've got a couple of years' experience on them. But we do not, under any circumstances, think that we're going to be the only ones around. And I find that reassuring. It means that I think the opportunity is real and that it should last for some years to come.
It certainly should. Well, that's been fascinating, Neil. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. Real pleasure. Hope you enjoy your trip to Sheffield, your time here in the UK, and I'm sure it's one of many forthcoming trips, given the nature of the collaboration that you've been talking about too. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. My pleasure.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise program, with me, Jamie Veitch. That was Neil Reed in an interview that I recorded recently with Neil. He's an internationally invited author, consultant, speaker, Wi-Fi expert. And he was here in Sheffield working with an organization that I do some work with. And whilst he was here, I caught up with him to ask him about the future of Wi-Fi and what businesses need to be prepared for when it comes to borderless collaboration, the Internet of Things, and other developments in Wi-Fi and technology deployments. If you've only just tuned in and you've missed that 25-minute interview with Neil, then don't panic, because the podcast of today's radio show will be up on the Sheffield Live website later on today from about 11 a.m. All you need to do is go to sheffieldlive.org, find radio shows, look up Business Live, and the podcast will be there. While you're there, you would also be able to find last week's program, which featured an in-depth look at the proposals of the Taylor Review, which was published recently, the Taylor Review into Modern Working Practices. The proposals published within the review are likely to impact on your business or your social enterprise if you have any employees whatsoever, or if you work with any workers or any self-employed contractors. Jay Biani joined me on the program last Friday to run through the proposals, what they would mean for you. Also last week, there was an announcement relating to the government's decision to impose employment tribunal fees. That was overturned by the Supreme Court last week in a unanimous ruling that the government had acted unlawfully and unconstitutionally when they introduced legal fees in 2013. So that ruling came out last Thursday, and We looked at the potential impact of that with a statement from Jay Biani about how responsible businesses shouldn't have anything to fear if you're acting within the law. And the high cost of employment tribunal fees may have put off employees from taking genuine grievances to court. Now, there were a few other updates with regards to employment law last week. We covered vaping at work, and a former employee being given a prison sentence for deleting emails and data. So if you missed last week's program, you can catch up. Go to the podcast section of the Sheffield Live website, sheffieldlive.org. Look up radio shows, look up Business Live, and it is there. So Business Live is our weekly social enterprise and business radio program. We cover all business matters and social enterprise and good business matters. So if you have something that you think we should cover that would help you in your business, then get in touch. Or if you want to comment on something we have covered, we'll put a topic forward for discussion, suggest that we interview you or suggest someone else, then email me, email jamie@sheffieldlive.org, or send a text to 07 904 272 200. You can find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. You can find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. And whether you are running or thinking of starting a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer, whether you're an employee, we're really keen to hear from you. Let's have some music. We're going to play The Pretenders. This track I used to dance around my bedroom to day after day.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise program, with me, Jamie Veitch. We've been discussing borderless collaboration the Internet of Things, solar power, Wi-Fi, and a view into the near future for Wi-Fi and advanced networking. This morning, we had Neil Reed, international author, consultant, and speaker to industry and academia on the programme in an interview that I recorded very recently with Neil. If you've only just tuned in, you've missed that, then don't panic. Catch up with the podcast of the show on the Sheffield Live website later on today. And if you want to be on the programme, then put yourself or someone else forward to be on the show, then do get in touch. I've given the contact details out earlier and I'll give them out again before the end of the programme today. At the start of the programme today, we talked about social investment. We had some figures from Big Society Capital. They provide money to banks and finance providers and funding providers to invest into social investment. Enterprises, and we had an update from them with their figures showing around a 30% growth in social investment. So interesting times for them. And on the theme of investment and investments that that deliver a financial return and a social return, I also talked about the Global Impact Investing Network and their members who invest all over the world for financial return and social return, saying they'll deploy 16% more capital into social investments this year. They expect to make financial returns and they expect to make social returns as well. It was interesting to hear this week, though, about on the theme of investment, about how Sports Direct has lost its biggest independent investor, because some ordinary fund managers are fearing how Sports Direct is not going to be capable of addressing its own corporate government issues. So it's been reported that Standard Life, which is the largest independent investor, or was the largest independent investor in Sports Direct, has bailed out of the stock. That's been covered quite widely, and selling its entire 5.8% holding after being a vocal critic of Sports Direct after its widely publicised issues, including poor treatment of its workers. So interesting to hear how traditional investment houses are not happy with poor corporate governance too. There are a few events coming up which might be of interest to you. I've mentioned the Social Enterprise Exchange information event next Tuesday in Rotherham, and check out Social Enterprise Exchange's website and Twitter for details of their support as well for social enterprises if you want to grow your social enterprise or if you're looking at starting one. Business and IP Centre Sheffield as well, they have plenty of things coming up. Was detailed on their Eventbrite page. And Community Business Weekend is coming up 5th, 6th, 7th and 8th of October 2017. Look at communitybusinessweekend.org for details of that. Also forthcoming, the Connect Sheffield event. This is being organised by Sheffield Chamber. It's Sheffield City Region's new business conference and exhibition. That's on Wednesday, the 18th of October at Ponds Forge. And Sam Christmas and Tom Sutton were on the show a couple of weeks ago to discuss Connect Sheffield, what it's all about. And details are on Connect Sheffield website, connectsheffield.scci.org.uk. And MADE Festival, MADE the Entrepreneur Festival 2017, is now, tickets are now on sale. That takes place Thursday the 9th of November at the Crucible, returning to the Crucible, Sheffield once again. Details on madefestival.com website there if you want to know more. And of course, the Sheffield Business Awards are open for entries right now. And so you better get your act together if you want to enter. If you think your business deserves special recognition for significantly contributing to the Sheffield economy, then there's a special recognition award. There's an Employer of the Year award, a Best Contribution to the Sheffield Visitor Experience award, Excellence in International Trade award, Outstanding Business of the Year, Enterprise Award, Excellence in Corporate Social and Environmental Responsibility Award, Excellence in Professional Services, and Business Person of the Year, and more. High Growth Business of the Year, Large Business of the Year, SME of the Year, Marketing and Communications, and Excellence in Manufacturing. So plenty to apply for there in the Sheffield Business Awards. Take a look at sheffieldbusinessawards.org.uk for details of how to apply. And with applications open right now, you need to act fast. The deadline for applying is the 4th of September. So get your application in right away. So we're back on air next Friday from 9 a.m. through to 10 a.m. with Sheffield Live's weekly Business Live business and social enterprise programme. So tune in then. But don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live, we have a fantastic episode of Sheffield Live's Thank Goodness It's Folk programme. We've opened up the vaults for a really brilliant episode featuring Faye Heald on the show. So tune in for that. It's going to be fabulous. And Sheffield Live itself, our station, is going to be busy in the week ahead, because it's the Special Olympics in Sheffield, the Special Olympics GB National Games in Sheffield next week, taking place with extensive coverage on Sheffield Live across TV and radio. So check out the website, and of course you know where to find us on radio and on TV, and enjoy the coverage of that. So thanks very much for listening today. Thanks to Neil Reed for doing such an extensive interview with me, which we played earlier, and thanks to Sangeeta in the studio as sound engineer today. Stay tuned, because as I mentioned, a really fabulous episode of Thank Goodness It's Folk from the vaults for you to enjoy next. And before we put that on air, we're going to play out with something on the theme of time travel, because we've been doing a little bit of predicting the future. This is a track composed by Michael Andrews. The track is called Time Travel.
We're open for Business Live.